Hi, my name is Joel Vanderwood, and this is a work in collaboration with Matthew Hicks while we were both at the University of Michigan. Currently, I'm at Sandia National Labs, and Matt is out of MIT Lincoln Lab. Without further ado, I'll be presenting Ratchet, Intermittent Computation Without Hardware Support or Programmer Intervention. Computers are getting smaller and cheaper. These trends are opening the doors for exciting new applications and changing our lives for the better. Smartphones are redefining how we connect with each other and how we retrieve information by acting as a portable gateway to the internet. Wearable devices inform us about our health, and change the way we see the world. Implantable medical devices are saving lives and improving our overall quality of life. Finally, smaller wireless sensor nodes are driving forward scientific discovery by providing a means of large-scale sensing. Based on these advances, I can't help but envision a future filled with these computing devices that sense, automate, and communicate. I imagine this deluge of sensors enabling techniques like machine learning to solve previously unsolved problems, reduce our overall energy consumption, and improve our quality of life. However, this future is impossible without solving one fundamental problem: power. Batteries, while they provide a consistent source of power, are often bulky, requiring an increasing volume in existing systems. Take, for example, the iPhone. This picture shows the amount of space dedicated to the battery in comparison with the compute and sensing elements on the system. In addition to size, batteries require maintenance or eventual replacement. For deeply embedded systems like implantable medical devices, replacement comes at a very high cost. As a response to the limitations of batteries, system designers have begun exploring new ways of powering their devices, namely energy harvesting techniques. Instead of relying on a fixed energy budget that is attached to the system, energy harvesting allows devices to generate power from the environment they're deployed in. However, systems that use these methods often find they afford unreliable power budgets. As a result, these systems are vulnerable to frequent power failures on the order of every 100 milliseconds. This makes it hard to make any forward progress on long-term computation. Previous work on extending computation across frequent power failures can be broken up into two separate approaches. Either use hardware to predict when you're going to have a power failure, or have the programmer annotate the code and create small re-executable portions of code. Hardware checkpointing solutions rely on taking a single checkpoint of program state to ensure the program is able to restart after power returns. However, their dedicated monitoring hardware consumes a significant amount of energy that could otherwise be used for computation, and in addition, it influences the hardware design. Programmer-driven, software-only solutions enable the programmer to create task boundaries and insert checkpoints at each boundary to ensure the device is able to restart after failure. This requires the programmer to identify sections of code which are short enough to complete in a single power cycle, but they're not so short that they impose unnecessary checkpoints, leading to larger overhead than is necessary. In order to free the programmer from reasoning about power cycles that are impossible to predict at design time and avoid hardware that imposes its own power consumption, we present Ratchet, a set of compiler modifications that enables long-term computation without programmer intervention. We will show that Ratchet ensures correct completion under transient power while imposing system overhead comparable with techniques that use specialized hardware or require the programmer to reason about unpredictable power failures. Checkpointing is a natural fit for this problem. Every checkpoint saves all volatile state to non-volatile memory. After a power failure, volatile state can be restored from non-volatile memory. However, if a write to non-volatile memory occurred, memory may be in a different state than on the original execution. Having different values in memory upon re-execution could cause inconsistent execution. As an example, consider the following code. When executing with abundant power, the memory locations A and B store the values Y and 42 respectively. However, in the presence of a power failure after the write to memory location B, re-execution could cause both locations to store the value 42. This memory consistency issue is caused by the series of instructions that performs a write after a read to the same non-volatile memory location. In order to ensure the consistency in the presence of frequent power failures, either you can't execute any instructions after the checkpoint, like hardware solutions do, or ensure that every section of code is safely re-executable. A section of code is said to be idempotent if it can be re-executed and always generate a semantically correct result. Existing programs can be decomposed into a series of idempotent sections by inserting a checkpoint between each idempotent section of code. We guarantee execution will always restart from the beginning of an idempotent section, and progress will be saved before starting the next section. In order to decompose a program into idempotent sections, Ratchet inserts a checkpoint between all write-after-reads in a section. Consider the following example. The write-after-read can be separated by a checkpoint after the write to A, creating two separate idempotent sections. We get the same result when executing with abundant power. However, when we execute with transient power, a power failure after the write to B causes us to restart at the previous checkpoint. But unlike before, it is not updated with 42. This re-execution results in memory contents that are consistent with program semantics. By implementing Ratchet in the compiler, we are able to automatically instrument existing source code at compile time. At a high level, Ratchet takes regular source code and creates a binary composed of idempotent sections separated by checkpoints. Ratchet instruments the program at two major locations within the compiler, both at the front end, after code has been transformed from source code into the compiler's intermediate representation, and in the back end, after the intermediate representation has been turned into assembly code. In the front end, Ratchet is able to identify every write after read to non-volatile memory using the strong alias analysis that's available. In order to identify all write after reads, Ratchet identifies each write to non-volatile memory. Then, it searches for every read of non-volatile memory that may occur before the write and may read the same address. I say may because most reads and writes are not hard-coded addresses but are computed at runtime. Using alias analysis, we are able to conservatively identify reads that may alias with the writes. In this case, memory locations A and B, or the read of memory location B is identified as creating a write after read with the write of memory location B. After identifying all write after reads, Ratchet looks to insert the minimum number of checkpoints to turn all non-idempotent sections into a series of idempotent sections separated by checkpoints. In the following code segment, Ratchet identifies all three color-coded write-after-reads. Next, Ratchet computes the number of write-after-reads separated and the loop depth of each potential checkpoint location. In this example, these two locations would be chosen to minimize the execution of checkpoints. And inserting checkpoints creates two idempotent sections, the green and the red sections of code. During the planning phase of Ratchet, we expected all Ratchet would need to do in the back end of the compiler was to replace our checkpointing placeholders with assembly code. However, after implementation, we noticed several ways the back end could actually introduce write after reads that weren't visible during idempotent analysis. One example of how the back end might introduce a write after read is when the stack is torn down in a function epilogue. First, consider the state of the stack after a function call. The return value and caller saved registers are pushed, and any local values might be allocated. Now, assume at some point later, the function takes a checkpoint. Again, after that, the function returns, tearing down the stack. By decrementing the stack pointer, it is implicitly invalidating the values the function pushed on. A future function could interrupt, or a future function or interrupt could cause new values to be pushed to the stack and cause them to be overwritten. If a device loses power at this point and execution resumes from the last checkpoint, the state of the stack will be different, and this will result in inconsistent execution. Another thing the backend could do to introduce a write-after-read is when it spills registers to the stack. When the code is in the compiler's intermediate representation, it has an infinite number of virtual registers to work with. However, when it moves to using physical registers, the compiler may spill registers to the stack or reserve space on the stack to save them and restore them during computation. These new memory operations weren't visible when we did idempotence analysis in the front end, and are subsequently left out of idempotence analysis. After implementing Ratchet, we noticed that Ratchet seemed to insert more checkpoints than necessary to separate all the write after reads. We suspect this is due to either optimizations the compiler makes, instruction scheduling decisions, or less than ideal placement of the checkpoints necessary to separate write after reads due to register spilling. In order to improve Ratchet's performance, we looked at how we could combine redundant checkpoints in the backend. In order to remove duplicate checkpoints, we looked for ways to relocate them while ensuring that the sections of code remain idempotent. Remember, the goal of the checkpoint is to separate a write from a read to the same address. Unfortunately, in the backend, we do not have the same amount of alias information that we had in the front end. However, relocating a checkpoint to a previous location that does not cross a read or relocating to a following location that does not cross a write ensures the checkpoint stays between the write and the read it was intended to separate. The green checkpoint can be relocated anywhere from the read of memory location B to the write of memory location A. The blue checkpoint, however, can be relocated anywhere from the read of memory B to the write of memory B, including the position where the green checkpoint exists. Noting this, we go ahead and combine the two checkpoints since one of them is redundant. Finally, the compiler has information about which registers are being used at a given point in the program. This is called register liveness. A register is considered live if a future instruction may read it before its value is overwritten. We reduce the number of memory operations caused by a checkpoint by only saving register values that are live at the checkpoint location. Optimizing Ratchet was an iterative process. We started with a naive implementation that stretched computation across power cycles but had relatively poor performance. Next, we noticed that functions with only writes will never, only local writes, will never cause intra-procedural write after reads, so we began to remove checkpoints that we had inserted at function entry to prevent them. After that, we noticed how we could combine redundant checkpoints. Finally, we noticed that all volatile state is not necessary to correctly restore after a power failure. We only need to consider the volatile state that is live at the given part of the program. Throughout this process, we theorized that with more engineering effort, we would be able to improve Ratchet to only take a single checkpoint during any given function. While this version does not preserve correctness, we use it as a lower bound for the performance of Ratchet. In order to evaluate Ratchet, we wanted to identify whether or not it could stretch computation across frequent power failures. We wanted to ensure it does so correctly, and to identify the performance overhead that we imposed. In order to ensure functionality and correctness, we implemented a cycle-accurate ARM simulator that is able to induce random power failures at frequencies that reflect the expected lifetime of transiently powered devices. In addition to experimentally verifying correctness using power failures, we instrument the simulator to track reads and writes to non-volatile memory to ensure that each section of code is in fact idempotent, that is, it lacks any write after read to non-volatile, the same address in non-volatile memory. We chose MIBench, a suite of embedded systems benchmarks which includes benchmarks like FFT, CRC, and RSA, which are commonly used to evaluate checkpointing mechanisms. In addition, it has a couple more complex benchmarks. And in order to work on those, we had to instrument a libc implementation, in our case, newlib. Then we linked against our instrumented version of newlib to ensure that we only executed code that was idempotent sections separated by checkpoints. The above graph shows the overhead of benchmarks instrumented with Ratchet, normalized with the uninstrumented benchmark runtime. The blue bar represents the cycles used to perform checkpoints, while the orange bar represents cycles spent re-executing instructions to get back to the point where it was when the power cycle occurred. Note that the re-execution overhead is not visible, showing the negligible effect of re-execution on overhead. Also, notice that we include the performance of each version of Ratchet, starting with the most naive version and ending with our estimate of an ideal version. Without Ratchet, most benchmarks are unable to complete, doomed to restart from the beginning after each power failure. RSA and CRC are exceptions to this, being simple enough programs to complete in a single lifetime. On average, with the most optimized version of Ratchet, we saw a 59% overhead. With additional engineering effort, we suspect overhead could approach 30%. In order to understand the wide range of imposed overheads we saw in the graph, we dynamically measure the number of cycles between checkpoints. We consider this to be the length of an item potent section. The graph on the right shows the average item potent section length per benchmark per optimization level. Note that long idempotent sections tend to be reflected with lower overhead, and short idempotent sections tend to result in higher overhead. Programs with long idempotent sections perform more work in between each checkpoint, while programs with short idempotent sections checkpoint more frequently, causing higher overhead. We also wanted to get an idea of how re-execution varies as a function of power availability. We tested lifetimes down to 1 millisecond and found that re-execution is still negligible at these tiny lifetimes due to the frequency with which Ratchet checkpoints. Note that overhead does increase at these short power cycles since each time the program restarts, the program needs to perform some amount of work to get back to the place where it experienced the power failure. Also note that CRC and RSA are so short, they still complete in a single lifetime, imposing no re-execution overhead. Again, there exists a relationship between idempotent section length and re-execution overhead. You'll notice programs with longer idempotent sections tend to have higher re-execution overhead, and programs with shorter idempotent sections tend to have lower overhead. If a program experiences a power failure during a long idempotent section, it might have a lot of work to do to catch up to the point where it was before. However, programs with shorter idempotent sections are less likely to lose less work. We have shown that you don't need hardware or programmer annotations to stretch computation across frequent power cycles. The compiler can do this automatically, reducing the burden on hardware and software developers. In addition, Ratchet shows itself to be robust enough to instrument a number of programs along with a libc implementation. Finally, Ratchet imposes similar and in many cases lower overhead to previous work while removing some of their limitations. Ratchet enables the future of pervasive computing by providing a robust solution to the problem of unreliable power budgets inherent to energy harvesting techniques. Thank you very much for your time. I'll take any questions.
Hello, I'm Yu Tao from Shanghai Jiao Tong University. Thanks for your presentation. I have two questions. First is, during your idempotent analysis, how do you handle inter-procedure right after read? And the second is, how do you handle the failures during the checkpoints process?
Yeah, thank you for your questions. So the first question is, how do you deal with inter-procedural right after reads? So a write after read between two functions must occur on some memory location that both of them share. So we can start looking at which memory locations are global memory locations. For functions that operate on no global memory locations, they only operate on their local stack frame, we don't have to worry about inter-procedural write after reads. However, on functions that do write to global memory, they could cause an inter-procedural write after read. In that case, we model the function entry as a read of any global memory location. And so during when we're inserting checkpoints, a checkpoint will be inserted before the write to global memory. Your second question, could you remind me about that? I'm sorry.
How do you handle the failure during the checkpoint?
Yes. So in order to handle failures during checkpoints, we have two buffers in memory that we write our checkpoints to. We have a pointer that points to either one of those buffers. The last operation in a checkpoint is to atomically write the address of the currently used buffer, or the currently updated buffer. We're relying on the atomicity of the write there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Ryan Huang from UCSD and Microsoft Research Network. And just wondering, similarly, in the idempotent analysis, do you consider network I/O or file I/O operations or like a third-party calls?
Yeah, that's a great question. So that's something that we're kind of looking at for future work. That's something that other energy harvesting or techniques to stretch computation across energy harvesting haven't looked at yet, but I think there's a wealth of research in the fault tolerance community that we might be able to pull from in order to solve that problem.